This episode is brought to you by Podmetrics, your one-stop shop for all your podcast data needs. Podmetrics aggregates data from Anchor, Spotify, Chartable, Facebook Live, and YouTube in order to show you the real picture of how your show is doing. The best part is, it's absolutely free. Sign up now at podmetrics.co and don't forget to use the referral code GEEKYJUANS. That's Geeky, J-U-A-N-S. Podmetrics, the only analytics you'll ever need for your podcast.
Welcome to the Geeky Ones, episode 99. So, you know, the Geeky Ones, we're a podcast that talks about comic books, wrestling, gaming, and anything else geeky under the sun. I'm Jude, next to me, Steven.
Hello.
Okay, so this is episode 99, and what we're going to talk about is MCU Phase 4 in general. You know, 2021 is a nice little comeback year for Marvel, and they released a lot of stuff. Four movies and four shows, I guess, or five shows.
It's so hard to track.
Yeah, it's so hard to track down. But yeah, there was at least so much content to go around to, and it was great. It was fun to watch. A lot of them are really well made, and that's really cool. And now we're gonna talk about them. I think almost chronologically by order of release. So that's going to be, it's going to be a lot. It's a loaded, but I think we can get through this quickly. And yeah, it's really fun. Yeah, it's really cool. And it's just a fun ride, actually. I really enjoyed 2021 Marvel. It's a nice little comeback for them after a year off. And they really needed that. And I think, let's fix it up. Let's go. Let's start. And let's start with WandaVision, I guess.
Okay. WandaVision. What is there to say? But it's the first sign that showed na Marvel is finally willing to experiment with their own superheroes. Kasi nga, for the longest time, we already know the formula of every Marvel movie. You know, it's going to have serious stuff. It's going to have quips. No matter what, there will always be quips. Like little comedic lines to like lighten the mood and stuff. But then here comes WandaVision na it gives you a sense of being uncomfortable for a while kasi hindi mo alam kung totoo ba nangyayari or not. And it was like, I love the move of adding Deborah Jo Rupp. Eric Foreman's mom, Kitty Foreman from that 70s show, as one of the first characters, supporting characters that you see in the town. Tapos, you're expecting it's gonna be a funny ha-ha-ha show. Mm-hmm. But then, you start to see the twists happening, and then you, I guess we can spoil it, it's been months na rin. You start to see na, it turns out, this is Wanda coping with her trauma. And it's treated in such a realistic way. So it's so good. Must watch for sure. I'm not going to spoil too much at the end because you have to watch it. It was really fun. Predictable, but fun. That's it. That's all I can say about
WandaVision. I think WandaVision is like an inevitability. It's just watching an inevitable event.
Yeah.
Like, just watching Wanda unfold as we know she will, as we know what would happen to her like in the future. And that was the best part. That was really cool. And Wanda's broken psyche is the centerpiece there. And it was really great. It was a really great debut for Marvel
streaming.
Marvel on series form. Because I think what Marvel did to the Disney Plus shows, it's like a little character study for their heroes.
Yes, exactly.
It's like a closer look, a more intimate look into how they're doing, especially post Thanos, post Endgame, which is great. Yeah. Which is great because they've been through a lot. Some of them got deleted essentially. And that follows too with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which was awesome.
Oh god.
You know, we finally got to see Baron Zemo again. That was and you know, there's this little, you know, there's hints that they're gonna make a little faction called, you know, a little faction called the Thunderbolts, maybe.
Ooh.
You know, you have Baron Zemo there, he's still alive.
He's alive.
Just as long as he's still alive, there's a chance.
Yeah. I mean, come on. He ended the Avengers without even lifting a finger, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, really cool. And Falcon is finally taking the mantle of Captain America, and that was really great. And I think I like Falcon and the Winter Soldier because it's I like how it was presented, because it felt like a big budget. It still felt like a very big budget production. Like, it felt like a Captain America extension still. And you know, it's hard to do that in series form, but hey, Disney has the budget for whatever, so they're loaded enough for that, and it shows. But yeah, Falcon and Winter Soldier, that's like a hint towards like the future of what they'll do. Yeah, Baron Zemo is giving me hope that the Thunderbolts will exist in some form. That's like the first hint. Next up, we have this one's my favorite one. I think Loki is among the best next to WandaVision. It's the it's the best on the amongst the Disney Plus shows. I know Hawkeye is not out yet, but Loki is just intriguing episode to episode, because you know, you had Tom Hiddleston back as Loki. It was really great. Like, he was just it's a great character study. It's like the best character study on Loki, because you know, you see him mourn over like what happened, and contemplating the fact that he actually died.
he died
in the actual universe. And you know, him chasing all the Loki variants was fun. Owen Wilson was such a great character there, and Sylvie's debut is actually really cool. So we have And then you have Kang the Conqueror, you know, universe-breaking implications. And there's a hint that the universe-breaking implication may have been Wanda. Just breaking something. Or, you know, it's either Wanda or, you know, Doctor Strange ruining the timeline eventually. But yeah, it was so good.
For bargaining with Dormammu too much.
Yeah, they probably did. They did a number on that. But yeah, it was so good. There was one thing about Loki. Yeah, it was a really great show, and yeah, the variants made it interesting. You know, old Loki is great. Crocodile Loki.
Oh, Crocodile Loki is surprisingly cute, even though he's a crocodile.
Crocodile Loki is a treasure. Old Loki is too, and then there, you know, present Loki is finally like somewhat canon. I mean, all the variants are there, and there was Frog Thor in one of the background. Very quick cats.
Frog Thor.
Yeah, Trog. I forgot what he's called. Trog.
It's a weird term. It's a weird name.
Yeah, but Kang the Conqueror's existence means that, you know, they're setting up one of the bigger villains in the MCU. I think one thing interesting about MCU Phase 4, there's no clear villain yet.
Actually,
there's no one looming threat. One looming threat like Thanos was since the first Avengers, diba?
Yeah, I think like within 4 to 5 movies, you already knew Thanos was gonna be the big bad.
Yeah, I think they used the first movies to just set up everyone. So Hulk, yeah. Iron Man, Captain America, and then Thor,
the big four, and then, basically,
and then make. And they make Avengers, and then in the end of Avengers, they just show, "Hey, Thanos! Oh, hi!"
Hey,
hi.
And yeah, it was really cool. Like, fine, I'll do it myself.
Yeah, and then you get that. I think the Eternals is also doing that. Like, they're doing the setup thing right now. I think they're doing Phase 4 is doing the setup thing right now. Slowly but surely, which is cool, and we'll go to that later on. But first, we go to our first first spot here where we talk about Amazon, the $10 gift card giveaway.
All right. So we are giving away one $10 gift card to a lucky commenter on Facebook and another gift card to one follower on Twitch. For Facebook, help us reach 950 likes on Facebook to win the prize by liking our page and naming one comic book artist we featured on the show on the pinned comment. Once you comment and like our page, you will be entered in the raffle.
Mm-hmm.
For Twitch, you will win. Just follow us, and once we hit 50 followers, then we will be raffling away another $10 gift card. So that's two $10 mm-hmm. gift cards we will be giving away once we reach 950 likes on Facebook and 50 followers on Twitch. So that awesome. Is it for our Amazon / Comixology not sponsored by Amazon giveaway.
Yeah. Also, for a shout out to Carl Lorenzo. Yeah, what's up, my brothers from the upstate? Yeah, we're doing fine. We're enjoying, and MCU has been really fun this year. There are lots of stuff to talk about. But yeah, another movie that sets up the next group of people in MCU Phase 4 is Black Widow, surprisingly. Like, Black Widow is like an interquel. Like, you know, it's a, sort of a prequel. It's like a, it's just a little, I know it took so long for Natasha to have her own movie, to have, like, you know, Scarlett Johansson to finally have that starring role that she needs. And it was fun. It was a fun action-packed movie. I enjoyed it. We got Taskmaster there. I think Taskmaster is kind of unusual. The way they depicted really Taskmaster is kind of unusual, but I'm happy that Taskmaster exists and it's still the same copying. Although I wish the Taskmaster they had was talkative and smug.
Kind of more like the Taskmaster from Spider-Man PS4. If we're
kind of like the Taskmaster that I saw like taunting Deadpool and probably the Avengers. He had personality, but also, Florence Pugh as the new Black Widow is great. Yeah. Like she'll do a great job, and you know, also Thunderbolt's implications there.
She's probably going to be the turncoat. Let's face it, she's going to be the one of the turncoats after like talking to Kate Bishop or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, she'll probably be. But she, you know, the post credits just had her approach with. Who was that? I forgot her name.
Fuck me. No. It's the girl from Seinfeld. oh, really? Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, what's her character's name?
I know she's
Valentina Allegra de Fontaine. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to see her just set up, you know. She already has her new Black Widow, so thankfully the Black Widow is just Black Widow 2.0. You get U.S. Agent.
Oh my gosh, U.S. Agent's gonna be
so far right now. We're talking about we have Baron Zemo. Okay, that's three guys so far.
Baron Zemo, so far. Black Widow, and Madam
U.S. Agent.
It's not Madam Mask. Huh? Yeah, U.S. Agent, but so it's like we're getting the Dark Avengers. That's a different story. Anyway,
we're gonna get Thunderbolts people.
Yeah,
so
Thunderbolts. Thunderbolt Ross.
Oh yeah, we're forgetting. You know, the guy is overdue for a certain exposure. You know, he's bound to you know, come into contact with something, a certain substance that will turn him angry or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Next up, we after Black Widow, we get a little interesting animated entry, which is What If. Now, What If is a nice little. I'm happy that they made this into a. I'm happy they made this into a series because What If is such a wonderful alternate history storytelling device. And they still made it MCU-fied, and it was good. I mean, there were some great episodes. There were some up and down moments, but in the end, it's a pretty nice way to show what's happening. Hey, what's up, right? And I like the Doctor Strange one. The evil Doctor Strange, and the one where Ant-Man basically wrecks the entire Avengers plan. culminating with President Loki. So that's really cool. And I like that it turned into a setup for an alternate universe Avengers of sorts. And that was the really interesting part. It was a nice run. Maybe not the strongest Disney Plus series among all of them, but it was nice to see how they animated stuff. And then, you know, it took us a while. Like, after a while, you know, we had to wait for the next big movie, and that was Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi, oh. Legend of the Ten Rings. And Shang-Chi was long overdue. You know, Shang-Chi is the first really new Marvel character to be introduced. And he's going to be there for the next phase. And Shang-Chi
China will accept him. Because we all know Simu Liu's stance on China.
Yeah.
We will see if, you know, he's going to be like in more movies. Because from the looks of it, he will be in the rest of Phase 4. But we don't know how big his character will be. Or like, for all we know, like what happened to Star Wars in The Force Awakens. Maybe gagawin siyang minor character. Like what happened to Finn. I hope not. Pero,
I hope not. Because, they kept a couple of scenes in Eternal. Mm. So, like, you know, I don't think they're gonna... They have to bend over for that too much. Shang-Chi is a fun action-filled movie. Mm. It was so good because I think it blended a lot of the MCU elements, the funny parts, the action parts, and then it integrated some parts of Asian action films.
Mm.
Wuxia. Even they had Wuxia. They had like a little Wuxia spot. You know, where you know, you fight and glide over each other. Mm. It was so good.
There's a whole crouching tiger scene, essentially, diba?
Yeah, there was. And Tone Ryong as like the Mandarin was a great and the funny part is he actually hired the guy who, you know.
See, Trevor Slattery, diba?
Yeah, he just hired him. Oh yeah.
I just find it so ironic that the Cantonese guy is playing a Mandarin guy. Like, as somebody who is Chinese, it's funny to me. I don't know why. Getting a Cantonese guy to play a Mandarin, it's just weird. But it's very interesting choice. But, you know, it is what it is, you know.
But, yeah, Tony Leung had the look and had the villainous appearance. So, it was great.
Yeah.
Awkwafina's scenes were funny. But thankfully, she pointed out that she had a Mary Sue spot near the end.
That's good.
She pointed it out on the movie. Like, on the movie, like, her character pointed out that this was too lucky for it to happen. It's nice to see Wong back, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And also, a certain villain came back, like, 12 years, 13 years after it appeared. Some little Hulk villain appeared there.
He was in the trailer, you know?
He's there. I forgot that they didn't actually kill him off, so that's really cool.
I don't think they did. So that's another member of the Thunderbolts.
Oh yeah, you know, unless they don't want to nuke the powerhouses there. Wink, wink.
I just wanted to add, if you want to watch Awkwafina at her finest, watch Nora from Queens. It's the best. Yeah. Like, maybe it's just us being Asian, but you can relate to it for sure. A lot of things there. It's not just East Asian culture, but just Asian culture in general. Asian culture.
Asian things.
Asian things. Like, you live with your parents, or your parents can be nosy at times, or like, you just watch Nora from Queens. It's really fun.
Mm. Shang-Chi is one of the best ones. Like, you feel that, you know, they're gonna make a lot of effort for Shang-Chi to be one of the key characters in this new Avengers. You know, I mean, that's what they call it. It's like the WWE name for it.
That'd be cool.
Avengers.
Oh, Bendis. Oh, anyway.
But yeah, I don't think they should just call it New Avengers. They can just still call it Avengers because I know it's I know people associate that name with Thor, with Iron Man and Cap, but yeah, you know, it's time to introduce a new generation. I think that's what Marvel really wants to push, and that's nice. You know, like I know you like our old constants, but hey, there are new guys here, and you know, we kind of overrepresented everyone in the previous Avengers,
yeah,
in comics and everywhere. So now we're gonna give spotlight to the new guys, and that's pretty nice. I know Marvel loves rebooting everything, every comic.
Oh yeah. I can't even tell you how many times Marvel and DC have rebooted in the past 20 years.
Yeah, but thankfully the MCU is in a steadier ship, because thankfully they're not, you know, they don't need to reboot. I forgot if they retconned anything. They might have, if I'm just not.
Well, there's that one infamous Spider-Man retcon that we will not talk about unless maayos na siya, which is still not fixed.
Yeah, we're not gonna point that out.
Spider-Seeming.
So yeah, Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings. I would recommend. This is also the most Asian Marvel film, so it's fun. You know, Asian karaoke is well represented here, and that's one. And also, Shang-Chi has a sister. That's really cool. So that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have what people would say the worst rated Marvel movie, MCU film, and I think the hate is hate is not justified.
Mm-hmm.
It's exaggerated, and it's The Eternals. I just watched it a while ago. Yeah, watched it, and I would say that it's not the worst. You know, Thor 2 still exists. I'm sorry, Thor Dark World. you were weird. Like,
it's okay.
Or I kind of like Age of Ultron was also off, so you know. At least Eternals did its best to introduce a huge group, give them enough time on the screen. I know the time is kind of still not enough. You know, 2 hour runtime, 2.5 hour run, 2 hour runtime is still not enough to. But they still got them. At least you got to know them as a group. You got to know how. You know, Chloe Zhao was able to create a nice little a visual spectacle of a movie, actually. It's a very, I think it's a very aesthetic Marvel film.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, it's just pretty to look at, some of the scenery and stuff.
I think it really helped that Chloe Zhao said that she wanted to use real locations.
Yeah.
Like, let's face it, majority of the Marvel movies are in 3D sets.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what made Eternals so good, because it's a legit location. You don't.
Yeah, it had the genuine. It had that genuine appeal, like from the get go. Mm-hmm. Like, you're here to oversee Earth, and then you get to see them in different places across the world. That was great.
Nice.
Yeah, funny enough, hey, Salma Hayek is there. Hey, hi. It's nice that she's part of the MCU, and I think what I like is how I like how diverse the cast is, and like, you know, I found it weird that I realized it in The Eternals, but I just realized that, you know, in this generation of movies we are in, movies no longer task their actors to kill their accents, to change their accents.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, for the most part, you get to hear. You get to hear Richard Madden with his I think Scottish accent, and then you get to hear them more. And you know, Salma Hayek was on her Salma Hayek had her Mexican accent. It was really great. You know, it was nice to see that. You know, before, I remember back then, you know, people had to learn different accents. You know,
that was, I think, the deal with Gal Gadot, diba, as Wonder Woman. They actually had to adjust the cast of the Amazons to have a similar accent to Gal Gadot, just so they can have Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, because her Israeli accent is so thick that. It's just I don't know, like, maybe visually, because she is Wonder Woman now. Like, she's taken over the role of Linda Carter as Wonder Woman now. So talagang they decided, you know what, we'll adjust for her. And I think that's nice to see a lot of actors doing that now. Studios
also doing that. Also worth noting is that the Eternals has Makari, who's deaf, and I like, it's nice to see ASL, you know, nice to see American Sign Language being seen there, and you know, we get to see that later on with Hawkeye.
Yep, that's right.
And that's really cool. You know, showing that, hey, like, you know, it's been a long time since movies with sign language are a dime in a dozen, and now yeah. I think I've seen like three pieces of media. The Eternals was my third one. If you've seen Sound of Metal, that's another one where you actually deal with a guy who became deaf all of a sudden,
yeah.
Which is, you know, how it happens. But yeah, how it sometimes happens. Yeah. Now before we move on to. The Eternals had a lot of implications. Oh, I think, Steven, we can add Venom 2 on this one.
Oh, yes, Venom 2.
Let us rectify this.
I read about that spoiler in Venom 2.
There's just one thing that has to be there. It was the spiciest thing in that film.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, before we go that the Eternals had a few had a couple of debuts. You know, Kit Harington is there, and mm-hmm. he is Dane Whitman. For the people who read the comics, Dane Whitman is Black Knight, and mm-hmm. you know, he said he had a problematic uncle, and I think one of the Eternal characters, for those who haven't watched it, since we have it, you know, name dropped a certain weapon, and there's a debut. There's like a couple of new things there, you know, surprises. But yeah, but it's really cool. Since it's still fresh off the oven for a lot of us, it's still.
Well, that's true. Because you guys finally had the chance to watch a movie. And how was it though? Were you able to eat popcorn? Can we just like talk about the movie?
Nah, there's no popcorn. There's drinks. No popcorn, but it's fine. Like, I find it messy to eat. I think popcorn is like the only thing I would eat regularly in a cinema. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think I've tried eating some. I tried eating something else.
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs. Yeah, I think it was hot dogs. Thanks. Wow. Yeah. So yeah, but it's still awkward. Like, it's in a way it's easy to eat a hot dog sandwich in there, but mm-hmm. when you just wanted to have a lot of sauce in there, like condiments there, it's just gonna be a mess. So but the Eternals had a lot of nice little implications. It's nice to see a new group of heroes. I know there are a lot, but what I love is that you care for them. You care for them all of it. Like, and you feel that, you know, they're a nice little family there of heroes. Anyway,
a family of superstar actors and singers. But I won't say who.
It's like the Avengers, but like hot. I mean the Avengers.
Oh my god, that's a great description. The Eternals are the hot Avengers.
Yeah, and you know, aesthetic ones too. Like, you know, Chloe Zhao's cinematography was good there. It looked every shot. She had like sweeping shots, which was just good. And oh no, I can't discuss that part. Yeah, since that's spoiling a part. But I'll tell that just off record. But yeah, before we go to our next one, before we talk about Venom, let's go to our friend. Let's have. Steven, just a message from our friends at Podmetrics.
All right. So for Podmetrics, get a better look at your podcast statistics and earn from it too. Use our code GeekyJuans at sign up to help us deliver the GeekyJuans podcast to you. So the benefits include these, for example, these ads that we are rolling right now are from our friends at Podmetrics. So they help us earn a little bit to help keep this podcast running. And that's pretty much one of the biggest benefits you can get from Podmetrics. It's to earn money while having fun. That's pretty much Podmetrics. So use our code GeekyHuans at when you sign up at podmetrics.co. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we talk about our next entry here, which is Venom Let There Be Carnage. Now, Venom was such a... The first Venom was a actually fun movie. It was fun. I know it's not like in MCU levels of like, hey, this is it's a Marvel Sony film, but yeah. God, like Tom Hardy is invested in Venom.
Nice.
He like Eddie Brock might be his most talkative role ever. but the fact that the dynamic of Eddie Brock and Venom is just so good. It's just so fun to watch. It, you know, I joke around that the Venom movies is rom-coms more than apart from being superhero movies.
Mm.
Because you know, you get this because you know it's Eddie Brock going through a breakup.
Oh.
And that's really cool. And then, you know, he discovers symbiotes and that's like chaotic. And yeah, the first movie was solid. And then the second one is actually, I think I like it more than the first.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because the relationship between Eddie and Venom is just more fleshed out.
Mm.
But also because of Carnage with Woody Harrelson. Because it works. It works so good. I know it's been long overdue that Woody Harrelson is, you know, anything Marvel. And finally we got him to be Cletus Cassidy. Which is the one character that he can nail. He nailed it as Carnage, and Carnage looked scary. Carnage is just I think whatever depiction of Carnage I see is just scary.
He is really scary in general.
Yeah, like comic wise, yeah, God, the scrambled symbiote is just
it's
wild.
Really scary.
And the movie version is scary. It's just as scary. It's just wild. You know? The fact that Carnage and you know, yeah, I love Venom Let There Be Carnage is one of my favorites there. It's a nice little you know, it's great that Venom had his own line, you know, had a little spin-off. And, you know, the post-credits indicated something happening, a little shake-up, you know. We'll see, but the thing is, I think, you know, Venom Let There Be Carnage, there's a little, we'll definitely see more Venom, I think. But yeah, we'll be seeing it. And, you know, Morbius is around the corner. So that's one thing you have to see. And, you know, there's Spider-Verse villains and anti-heroes. So that's going to be interesting. Their implications are going to be interesting for the next set of Marvel shows and movies. And speaking of Marvel shows, we have the latest one, Hawkeye. And Hawkeye is a series that people have been longing for. It's like, If Black Widow had her long overdue like main spotlight, finally we get to see Clint Barton's run, you know, finally get something out of Clint Barton. True, you know, true. I know Clint Barton's character. You know, he'll always say that he's a ghost.
Yeah.
He prefers everything low-key and mysterious. But then you know we forgot that he had a little wild anger arc.
Emo run.
Emo run there where he went full edgelord and just turned into a ninja, essentially. He somehow turned into a Mortal Kombat character.
Yes, exactly.
He basically turned himself into like whatever MCU's version of Scorpion, maybe, without the flames and the hook. But yeah.
Can I just say something? Sorry.
What? Go.
How come the No Way Home, holy shit. The No Way Home hashtag on Twitter generates Miles Morales for some reason.
Oh, that's interesting.
check it. It's like, what the fuck? Wait, lang. What the fuck is going on? Mm-hmm. Miles Morales? Wait, shit.
Well, sorry, if that's just a way of if that's just a way of putting us off on a world, it's working enough. Man, so that's really cool.
I'm like hyped, even more hyped now. Sorry, let's go back to Hawkeye. Sorry.
Yeah, that's cool. But also, I think that's all. That can also be the stealth suit. So there's still a chance. We're still in. But yeah, Hawkeye is basically like somewhat a TV adaptation of TV adaptation of the David Aja Matt Fraction run, and also please give credit to David Aja Marvel. Just give him give him everything. You know, he created the style of this one.
Yeah.
This is their run. I know Matt Fraction got credits for Shang-Chi in this, but you know, David Aja deserves the same
it's
amount
weird,
of
huh?
recognition.
Weird.
I find it weird that they're having a hard time crediting the comic creators, especially when they basically adopted this off all written, basically much of this, a huge chunk is off written work.
Yeah,
and of some of the best Marvel runs in the recent memory, you know, Hawkeye's run, the Matt Fraction David Aja Hawkeye run was such a great moment. It's like it established Clint Barton as a really strong, you know, as a compelling character. And then you get Kate Bishop, who's just as exciting to follow, you know. It's a great story. And Pizza Dog, you know. Yeah. Never forget Pizza Dog.
Alright, so
they call it Pizza Dog.
He's lucky the Pizza Dog. So for me, I can really feel for Hawkeye a lot because of his So one of the things that I really love about Hawkeye was the fact that they were emphasizing his hearing loss.
Everything he went through.
He's lost so much. Like, he's alive, but he's lost so many things, his hearing and stuff. So, like, I have tinnitus, so that means there's ringing in my ears, but that doesn't mean that I can't hear certain things anymore. But for some people, sadly, they lose hearing, you know. It gets really bad for other people. So I'm lucky that I still have both my ears, hearing and all. So please use ear protection as much as you can. Like before, when you go to concerts, you'll just go there without, you know, earplugs or anything. If for some reason, magka-concerts ulit, please wear ear protection. Because it's going to protect your ears. Chris Martin of Coldplay has tinnitus. Anthony Kiedis of Red Hot Chili Peppers has tinnitus. So
yeah, well, I performed it. I think I have it too. So like it's a common, like it happens, and especially if you're like performing in a lot of loud venues. But ear protection is great. You know, my drummer has it. Shout out to my drummer Charles Villanueva, because he is also running a podcast as well, so like just want to give him a shout out there.
What's the name of the podcast?
Murphy's Multiverse of Podcasts, where he's interviewed a couple of heads of Marvel. I think his recent interview was with what was that? Who's the exec producer of Hawkeye?
Let's find out.
Shout out to Charles Villanueva, because
Trin Tran?
He's been getting a lot of he's been covering MCU since for a long time, like even when I was bandmates with him back in like 2012. So yeah, now he's very, very, very invested in the Marvel universe, and it's really cool. And now going back to Hawkeye, I think this is the first live action Hailee Steinfeld role I enjoy.
Ayaw nga, no? Shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. She was good in, she was great in Bumblebee. She was good in Bumblebee.
Yeah, but like we knew, everybody knew she was gonna be like one of those short-term characters. Like, yeah, she's not Sam Witwicky, let's face it. But
yeah,
like,
but
Bumblebee's road to Sam Witwicky, I guess, like, was with family, you know? And he's a car. So, you know, it's perfect. Because Dominic Toretto can be like a perfect, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah. But yeah, there we go.
Like Arcane, she's in Arcane, she's in Spider-Verse. It's crazy. Now, Hailee Steinfeld is now Spider-Gwen and Kate Bishop.
And yeah, so she has two Marvel characters, a League of Legends character. She's just on a roll, and yeah, it's nice. It's nice to see. It's nice to see it. And you know, she has been really charismatic on her role. Like she has done well on all.
Speaking of speaking of Hawkeye and Hailee Steinfeld's character Kate Bishop, I'm very glad that they removed that really super weird side plot in the comic. So in the comic book, as much as I love Matt Fraction, I wasn't the biggest fan of the whole will they or won't they situation. So Jude, if you've read the Matt Fraction David Aja book, I'm sure you've seen this moment na parang ang weird na kasama si Kate sa fantasies ni Clint. When he was fantasizing about, we're probably not gonna get these parts because it's comics is so different from the movies.
Thank God.
Thank goodness.
Kasi it doesn't he was need that. It's like, please don't tell me this is like a Barbara Bruce Wayne situation again.
I'm glad it's not. It almost was in the comics, like very gross because it had. He was fantasizing about his ex-wife, Jessica Drew, Spider Woman. It was a very weird moment. But
thank God
why
that,
the heck is Kate there? Like, that's, she's a child. Why? Like, no. Yeah.
Also, anyway. I like the fact that they made Kate an adult here.
Yes, exactly. She's not a runaway teenager in this one. I'm glad they did that.
Yeah, because I don't think it would be viable for her to be a teenager as well, especially that. You know, she has to, you know, she needs to, she, they gave her like a strong background. You know, she's very good at martial arts. She, you know, and she's studying at university, and that's really cool. Yeah, I like that Hawkeye is like a father-daughter dynamic, has that family dynamic. It's really cool, and it feels more like a buddy cop dynamic, and it's really fun to watch.
It's like Ben Kenobi, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, I find it funny. Tracksuit Mafia, everyone. Yeah.
Oh yes, bro.
But yeah, that's all we can say so far for them. But yeah. But then you know, I think one thing we can say about Hawkeye, it's just Clint Barton dealing with this past and helping the future, you know, giving I know it's inevitable that we'll have you know, Kate Bishop will eventually be someone, you know, in the entire Marvel universe scheme. Mm-hmm. And you know, Hailee Steinfeld is built for the future of MCU. You know, in short, you know, she'll be the one for the long term, and that's nice to see.
That's true.
Pizza Dog as well, you know.
Oh, Lucky the Pizza Dog. I love Lucky the Pizza Dog.
And of course, there are characters who are kind of waiting to appear. And
speaking of a guy in a suit, anyway.
Oh, well. Well, you know, there are some suits, there are some suits, swords, bows, arrows.
Some
and
suits, some lawyers, some, you know, lots of people.
Yeah some people. Villain. But yeah, until that's done, we have to find out. I think there's three more episodes. I think all Disney Plus MCU shows are six
episodes, yeah.
Magic number. But yeah, Hawkeye is such a fun watch. Although the recent episode is kind, the ending is kind of annoying. Annoyed me that Why do you? No, please don't end it that way.
Episode 3 was. Can we just talk about episode 3 now? It was very disappointing for me.
I hate the cliffhanger way of it. Because it's just. No. Give me more.
I thought there was going to be more.
I wanted more. I wanted more in that story. And we'll unfortunately, see that didn't happen. And now we're stuck with with waiting for another week of what would happen.
To be fair, though, I liked this format of not binging everything. Because I currently am watching the Beatles Get Back documentary. And, you know, Jude was named after Hey Jude. So it's a...
Named after Julian Lennon.
Nice.
That's one thing. No, Julian Lennon. The Hey Jude was... For Julian Lennon.
That
was one.
And then you were named after the song,
Tama Ba? No, I can't remember. Probably the same, not Beatles.
But I noticed that the movie was like thrown into me for three parts, kaagad.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Peter Jackson movie.
No, Peter Jackson. It's been a while since we've seen Peter Jackson too. You know, I know it's a docu-series. It's a docu...
6 hours, man.
Yeah, it's a docu-series. So, yeah, that's 2 hours each. So,
tough luck on that. 50 each.
Oh, well, that's fine. You know, we sat through Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit with him. It's inevitable he'll make us sit through something else. And apparently, it's the Beatles.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. But, yeah, going back to Hawkeye, overall... Please, Marvel, please pay your artists. Don't just credit them, pay them.
Give them like lifetime royalties or something, you know?
That's the hard part. But like, I totally get it's a business thing because DC, like we can have a whole episode on comic book rights and everything. It's crazy. But just look at how DC had to handle the Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster situation, the creators of Superman, or... how the family of Bill Finger, it took almost 80 years for Bill Finger to be properly credited in Batman. Because without Bill Finger, we don't have the iconic Batsuit.
Oh yeah, like Bill that. Finger, I think they usually just cite Bob Kane, right?
Yeah, usually. Like if you look in things from like the 2000s all the way to the 2010s. The first movie...
I think just credit, at least, just giving them credit, like just recognizing that, hey... These are the guys who wrote and drew them. Because, they deserve to get... People deserve to know their names. Because, knowing their names, at least, hey, I want to read the comic of this. You know, at least lure them in.
And speaking of that, from what I understand, I think DC supposedly treats their artists better. Like, I think they do get residuals and stuff.
They have a slight lead on that, I guess.
I think they do. Because Doom Patrol, they always credit Gerard Way, Grant Morrison. I'm not sure if they have credited Rachel Pollack yet, but Rachel Pollack is one of the most prominent trans Doom Patrol writers of all time. I think she is the only trans writer of Doom Patrol. And her Doom Patrol was pretty much the end of the Grant Morrison era. So she was basically the cherry on top, cleaning up Doom Patrol and, you know, paving the way for the Gerard Way Doom Patrol, which happened 20 years later. And it's just nice to see them, everybody being credited to Doom Patrol.
That's
another episode. Anyway.
comic book movie, guys, just, you know, recognize the guys you based it all, everything on, you know, because you wouldn't have the material to do whatever you're doing right now if it weren't for the works of such talented people, you know. Like, I think there are times that you should even credit everyone, essentially, like,
the whoever illustrated too.
Because you take inspiration from the art, from the writing, you know, not just the concept. It's everything there. But yeah, now we're going to Hawkeye. From Hawkeye, you know, Hawkeye is a Christmas series. I forget.
Yeah, it's perfect timing.
I think it ends by Christmas. the last episode this
Christmas. Right before the next movie we're going to discuss.
It's leading up to that. So yeah, next up we have the upcoming Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh,
yeah. And, you know, also known as Peter Parker screws up the MCU timeline even more. From how it looks, you know. I know.
What's with Peter screwing up the universe all the time?
He can't handle the fact that he got revealed as Peter Parker, which Civil War Peter Parker did to himself and faced the consequences, although he did ask Mephisto for a certain stupid deal. Thankfully, that no longer is recognized. Anyway, Peter, you know, if WandaVision and Loki wasn't enough to wreck the timeline, like, hey, we have Peter Parker doing another time shift with Spider-Man No Way Home and summoning what seems to be like every Spider-Man villain so far. I know people are craving for a certain set of people to appear, but until they're not there, I don't wanna expect things.
Yeah, me too.
But hey, Peter, Alfred Molina, Doc Ock is there.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And he deserves to be the MCU because that's like one of the best comic book villains in movies ever.
Like, perfect casting, man. Perfect.
Yeah, the way that they did Doc Ock there. I think it's sometimes even better than some of the Doc Ock ones on comics. Somehow,
I think the closest for me personally, the closest match to Alfred Molina's Dr. Octopus would be William Salier's Dr. Octopus from Spider-Man PS4.
Oh yeah, that was great.
Diba? And then
I think both Doc Ocks because were mentor figures.
Yes,
Peter.
Exactly. That's what made it so good, diba? Right? But
the fact that it was like a heel turn of sorts, yes, for them. It was a very conflicted their story is so conflicted, diba? Right? Like, it's like sacrificing everything for technological progress.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but diba, in this case, for Spider-Man PS4, for those who have not played it, please play Spider-Man PS4 right now.
I think Doc Ock being screwed over by Oscorp? I forgot.
Yes, pretty much. He was screwed over by Oscorp. So
I think I think Spider-Man 2 was that too.
Kind of.
Let's let
the people play the game and enjoy. Kasi baka maano natin.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, so Peter Parker wrecks the timeline with the help of Doctor Strange, and now they're facing what every Spider-Man villain so far. I know Vulture is not there, but if he's there, he's probably just laughing in the corner. So it's gonna be
father-in-law in this universe, diba?
Yeah. the weirdest thing there. Yeah. Oh my god. One of my main villains is my girlfriend's father-in-law. This is so difficult. And also worth pointing out. I'm happy Michael Keaton's getting a resurgence. You know, ever since Birdman. Now he's still a Birdman,
but better.
Still a Birdman in MCU, so that's cool. You're gonna see him in Morbius though. That's cool.
Yeah,
upcoming. We're gonna talk about Morbius too. But yeah, you know, Peter Parker summons. Well, Sandman is there. Electro, who's finally in his proper colors. You know, the blue Electro was Gatorade Blue Thunder levels, which is kind of weird.
Thunder, though. It tastes good.
I like Blue Thunder, but it's not a good color scheme for Electro. It's so weird. Lizard was there?
That I'm not sure, but I think he was in the trailer being punched.
Yeah,
by
he was in the trailer. Yeah, he was in whatever. We're confirming things in the trailer. So yeah, like, Lizard is there. Green Goblin is there. So yeah, that's really interesting. So, you know, you're summoning another early Marvel villain there, early Spider-Man villain there. So there's a likely, you know, with all these universes combining, you know, there's bound to be a couple of, you know, we talked about Loki, and Loki had a couple of variants. Why not, a few Spider variants there, here and there, maybe, you know, Spider-Verse happened. So, you know, this is also, I think, a setup for the Doctor Strange sequels. That's really cool. That's going to be so crazy. You know, Doctor Strange is like in a bind with whatever he's doing right now. And, he somehow appears in a lot of this. I like Doctor Strange getting a more prominent role here. And I think the threats of the threats of the MCU, the current MCU, is both mystical and space. Like, it's time and it's literally magic and space and time.
It would be a great time to bring in Doctor Doom, who basically can conquer all.
We have a little future thing here. But before we go to our next one, but yeah, No Way Home is delayed here, sadly. Yeah, that's one thing that we have to deal with. And I know we're gonna have to dodge a month's worth of spoilers, but hey, that's a sad part. But anyway, I'll still be excited for it because, you know, Spider-Man, Spider-Man has been done well. Like, you know, Tom Holland has been a fun Peter Parker / Night Monkey. And also, I don't think we saw Mysterio, right? You know, whatever's left of him.
But I'm pretty sure Mysterio's alive, man.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they're just gonna use his freaking avatar there. Hey! We're here, the picture. We're here, and I'm just an illusion. Anyway, Spider-Man No Way Home is this month. This month
should be,
month.
Yeah.
Should yeah, be. This month. Right. Gonna be really awesome, and good luck to that. Okay, now this little film called Doctor Strange: Multiverse of Madness. Not much has been revealed apart from whatever casting. But let's take a look at that. And it's a Sam Raimi film. So Sam Raimi in a Marvel film once more. That's very interesting. Sequel to Doctor Strange. So Doctor Strange is having another movie, and that's great. And the main cast of... He's like the first new character in a while who gets a second film. I know Black Panther is going to have a sequel. That's going to be cool. But I know T'Challa is no longer in the mix there. So that's going to be interesting on how they'll deal with that. I know Shuri is like in the role of that. But yeah, Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness is a Sam Raimi film. And Sam Raimi has done well with Spider-Man. And, you know, he's a horror guy with Evil Dead, and now he has Multiverse of Madness, and he has a chance to make this into a mysterious and scary experience. And it follows the events of Endgame, WandaVision, and Loki's first season, and, you know, this is gonna be a time-bending universe-breaking experience from how the title shapes up to be. And most of what's confirmed is that, of course, Doctor Strange is there in Multiverse of Madness. We get Scarlet Witch, get Wanda
who
there.
Also fucked up her own universe.
Yeah, you know, destroy more timelines. You know, wreck the entire multiverse, and I think it's a great way for them to introduce more stuff. I think that's just it. Like, it gives them like the best excuse to introduce anything or anyone. Hey, it's because there's a multiverse. That's why. It's funny though. Also, apart from that, there's also Wong. Yeah, we need more Wong. Fun.
Yes, Benedict Wong is so fun.
Rachel McAdams is back.
And oh, it's really? Been a while. Nice. I haven't seen her since that one movie.
Karl Mordo? Yeah.
Darren Mordo.
Mordo is there.
Oh, I can't wait to see him back.
Yeah, can't wait. It's really, really exciting. And there's also America Chavez.
In the casting.
I'm looking at the casting stuff. And
that's crazy. They're bringing in America Chavez already?
Which is interesting because it's a multiverse movie. So I wonder how to introduce her to the bind, you know? Because remember, we talked about variants. We talked about various timelines getting wrecked, getting rebuilt at the same time. What if had a ton of those? You know, Uatu can only stand to watch whatever is happening to the world, and that's one thing. But yeah, this is Marvel Cinematic Universe implications, and I think Multiverse of Madness is just gonna set up whatever is gonna set up
whatever
everything
we need.
Conqueror,
or Doctor Doom, or the Fantastic Four, or maybe Hugh Jackman returns as Wolverine one last time. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. Now we're in the discussion of the future. We're gonna talk about future movies. So, apart from Spider-Man: No Way Home, which will end the Marvel 2021 slate of movies and series, which is great, great year for Marvel. Actually, it's really successful. I think the series and the movies is integrated well into each other. Like, I like that they filled in so many gaps and gave more characters a time in the spotlight and just talk more about how. Because we rarely see Falcon, right? Falcon have his own moment in the movies. Hawkeye, Clint, never really had his own moment apart from interactions with Natasha. And speaking of Black Widow, yeah, we finally got her backstory, long overdue backstory, which is why now? Why just now? You know, you could have done this before Endgame.
At least Asian representation.
Oh God!
Yes. Asian representation.
Scarlett Johansson is the first.
Gemma Chan, Simu Liu, Scarlett Johansson.
Asian representation.
Yes.
Yes, you know, she was very great in Ghost in a Shell as depicting
very versatile
Kusanagi. Let's go. But yeah, jokes aside, yeah, it was a great way to give everyone a moment in the spotlight. Even Loki. Loki's development along with Wanda's are the best in this how Wanda dealing with her loss. And Loki dealing with loss as well. His own loss.
That's true.
Yeah, like, and you know, it's really cool. That's the best thing. And future movies, let's take a quick look. Okay, after No Way Home, we have Doctor Strange in May. And you know, Sam Raimi, I have a lot of things here that Sam Raimi has been, you know, the guy made Evil Dead. The guy directed Evil Dead. The best Spider-Man film. Sorry, Far From Home. You were close. Homecoming and Far From Work, we're pretty close on that. No Way Home might even touch that mantle at some point.
But Spider-Man 2, man. There was just something about Spider-Man 2 anyway.
Spider-Man 2 is still a tight movie experience. But yeah.
Yep.
After that, we get Thor: Love and Thunder, and that's Natalie Portman as, you know,
the new
Mighty Thor, Lady Thor, you know, and that's gonna be really, it's Thor dealing.
Superstar-studded.
Yeah, it's really crazy. Thor: Love and Thunder is Taika Waititi describes it as a romance film, and I think it will be like it's. You know, the fact that there's love in the subtitle. It's going to be cool. I think it's a way of, you know, passing the torch to Jane Foster. And Jane Foster is going to be the next wielder of Mjolnir. And it's really cool. And of course, we forget we're gonna see Valkyrie again, Tessa Thompson. Who, mm-hmm. It's been a while. Been a while since Endgame. And then you know we have Gore, the God Butcher, portrayed by surprise, Christian Bale, who now has who's the next actor who has a Marvel and DC character. You know, the man had the best Batman film. And he's now here, you know, Gore the God Butcher. Hi. And that's gonna be interesting. It's interesting how he'll portray this. And you know, Christian Bale has been it's been a while since I've heard from Christian Bale. Hey, I need to know what his last movie was. It's can't remember. It's been in a lot. It's been so much. Oh yeah, he was in Ford versus Ferrari, so that's what. That's a nice little film, and yeah, and then you know, of course, the Guardians of the Galaxy are gonna be in Thor: Love and Thunder, or as you know, Thor would say, as Guardians of the Galaxy. So that's it's gonna be a lot of stuff, and their Grandmaster is still there. More Jeff Goldblum, yes, that's fun. And then, it's just a lot of wild stuff there. Next up, we have Black Panther: Wakanda Forever, which is slated for a November release. So, this is experiencing a bit of a production delay because who is Letitia? Letitia Wright, the actress of Shuri, I think she tested for positive for COVID-19, so she's recovering from that. And it's gonna take a while, but yeah, Shuri is gonna be one of the people in line for the next Black Panther. You know, there's a lot. You know, I want to see how they're gonna do this, and of course, there's the debut of Riri Williams. That's interesting
too. Ironheart.
Really cool. That's another one to look forward to. And then in 2023, there's the Marvels with Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, with Monica Rambeau Monica Rambeau as also Captain Marvel. She was also dubbed Captain Marvel, but she's known as she'll be known as Spectrum. So that's gonna be
cool. She was in WandaVision.
She was in WandaVision, so that's one thing.
And don't forget Kamala Khan.
And then Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel. So that's really cool. Yes. I think this would be a great way to just flesh out Brie Larson's Captain Marvel even more. Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
There really isn't much for the Marvels yet, then, no? So we can't really discuss it too much. But
there's gonna be Miss Marvel is gonna be shown ahead of this.
Yes.
Miss Marvel is gonna be like the setup of the Marvels. So that's one interesting part about that. So that's really great. And that's fun. Next up we have the last Guardians of the Galaxy, I guess.
Yeah, because I think Batista wants to retire now from the character. I mean, he's like 50-something now. You know, he wants to like slow down on these things.
Yeah, but it's a great, but you know, it's quite the fun run for Batista as movie actor.
Yeah, you know, like he can do more serious roles now. And like if you notice his men's health videos, he had a men's health video showing his gym in his house tour. Hindi na siya sobrang like WWE Batista. He's more like just lean blue Tista, pretty much.
But yeah, I think one thing about Batista, I like Batista, like how he depicts his characters, because he actually makes an effort to look different, to have a different aspect of his character. And you know, at least it's not The Rock being The Rock in everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's just Dwayne Johnson feels like he copy and pastes himself over characters.
But there is a good thing to that as well. Because you know how it's action movies were in the 90s?
Yeah. Rock is like a modernization of the action hero in a way. So yeah, that's pretty much.
So, parang,
but yeah, I like Batista's way of how he reinvented himself as an actor, because he just takes roles and tries to, you know, he takes different roles. And you know, he can actually do comedic roles, and that was fun. And that's cool. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is in 2023. And the reason it's kind of delayed is because, you know, James Gunn has worked on Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Which is really good. Really great redemption arc for Suicide Squad. And then there's also Peacemaker with John Cena. I like that James Gunn has recent projects working with former WWE champions. And it's gonna be fun. But yeah, for Guardians 3, I think it's all about, you know, we don't have that much info, but you know, it's Peter Quill looking for Gamora.
Nice.
That's gonna be one. So that's weird. And you know, I know Chris the Chris Pratt overcasting just needs to stop. Please.
I mean, he's already Mario, he's already Garfield. I mean, Garfield, really?
I think if they didn't announce him as Mario, the Garfield reception would probably be less hostile. Because Garfield would be a better fit than Mario. But then again, yeah, let's just get off that.
Let's wait and see.
Guardians of the Galaxy, it's gonna be a while since we see them. At least we see them in Thor next year. I kind of miss the, and of course the next one after that, Ant-Man and the Wasp, the third Ant-Man and the Wasp film.
Kang the Conqueror, man.
Quantumania. Look, surprise, surprise, it's another screw up the timeline.
That seems to be the theme, no? Of this.
Yeah, I think it's just inter-universe implications. Yeah. Because you know, Marvel is all about just wrecking the universe apart. And hey, look, he's in this universe now and he's there. Hi, you know. I think it just gives them an easier way in for new characters, just in case. I know they'll introduce a lot of new people, but I think it's a way for making the story a bit smoother. Like, why did it disappear? Oh, I'm from this timeline.
Yeah,
I think it also lessens the build up or introduction for certain characters, because sometimes you like, you know, the way they introduce Peter in MCU was great, because we know Uncle Ben died. You don't have to show us Uncle Ben getting shot another time, because that's traumatic. Like, you know, they're not gonna do that again. I think it's a way for them to smoothen out the storytelling. And although the bad part is if they overintroduce everyone, that's gonna be the worst negative there. But from the pace they're doing, it's one movie, one series. Introductions, and it's nice. It's doing well. I know there's a lot of people, but hey, that's comics.
Comics. I mean, there are four very important people that we haven't seen yet, but that's gonna have to wait.
Quantumania is the third Ant-Man movie. Oh yeah, Ant-Man was like the first somewhat new Marvel character to have a second film.
Oh yeah,
apart from that, the four guys, right?
Yeah.
Apart from Guardians and Ant-Man had the second film treatment. Yep. So that's cool. And Ant-Man is going to be with the one with the third one. And that's interesting. And it's Ant-Man and the Wasp. Ant-Man and the Wasp. You know, there's not much story there apart from Kang the Conqueror having his moment in this one.
Because supposedly the crew t-shirts had Kang the Conqueror's face on Ant-Man's helmet. So it makes you wonder why we have Kang all of a sudden. I mean, We will wait and see. We have 2 years.
Well, if Loki was any indication, yeah, he's gonna be one of. It's gonna be huge implications, and of course, I would like to note that in the Eternals, there's what is that? I forgot to point out something. In the Eternals, we get introduced to a guy named Arishem. You know, the guy who made the Eternals. So that's one thing, you know, big guy, you know. Ominous dude. So, you know, more ominous characters there. And speaking of ominous characters, there's one important thing, you know, before we end this, we have to talk about the last movie in the Phase 4 lineup, and that is Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four is mysterious as it does not have a cast yet, I guess. I know it doesn't have, right?
Yeah, what happened? Like it's a total out of all the Phase 4 movies, it is the most mysterious movie at the moment. Nobody knows anything about what's happening. Kevin Feige is very secretive about it. So yeah. We really can't speculate.
I think it's because they're keeping it under wraps because they want to make this work. Because the past Fantastic Four movie iterations have been bad, and you know, it's an injustice to for them to be bad because it's Marvel's first family. And the fact that they're called that and they're not getting that recognition, they're not getting the respect they deserve in film form is just off, you know? And that's one thing we'll be seeing. So interesting. Marvel. Fantastic Four, you know, we know Fantastic Four. Apart from the family, there's Galactus. Dr. Doom. If Dr. Doom is gonna be the next main villain of Phase 4, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Diba? Phase 2 was like the setup to Thanos.
Yep, that's right.
Phase 4 is all setting up for Galactus or Dr. Doom, that's gonna be fun, you know? Give me the ultimate nullifier just to KO freaking Galactus.
I mean,
or you know, Silver Surfer.
Oh, speaking of Silver Surfer, there's this one scene I remember a comic book artist mentioning via Twitter. I think it was can't remember who he was, but it was a comic book artist who mentioned that their dream post credit to like spotlight Silver Surfer would be just him surfing along one of the rings of Saturn or something, and he's listening to the Beach Boys Surfing USA, and then that's the whole post credit. He's just surfing, and then you can hear Surfing USA by the Beach Boys.
That feels like a very Guardians thing to do.
Hopefully we'll see something.
But Fantastic Four introduces a lot of characters, a lot of the mainstays, and at least two villains that would shake up Marvel even more.
Because one of them is human. That's the craziest.
Yeah, one of them is human. And, you know, Dr. Doom isn't there playing around. That guy has become a world leader.
Yeah.
Accomplished scientist. Yep. One-time Sorcerer Supreme. he has it all, you know. The fact that Dr. Doom did that and he's freaking human with no powers, like he gained it, he just earned those stuff. It's really cool.
The only thing he can't get is Sue Richards. Is Sue Richards' love.
That's the saddest part there. But yeah, really great, really interesting to see how Fantastic Four would pan out. Because I know they're gonna do their best to make this not be a bad Fantastic Four.
That's right.
I think they have it in them to do that. We just wanna know who's gonna be casted.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I would assume they're probably doing something about it. They're already doing early production on that. I think there might be already a cast. They just haven't revealed it yet.
Yeah. Like,
you know, we're filming this already and we're just gonna announce it later. We're gonna make sure that whatever we're doing here does not suck as much as 2015's Fantastic.
Have two Human Torches in the MCU naman. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Now, after that, we're gonna talk about the TV shows, lastly.
Yeah.
We talked about Ms. Marvel, right?
Yep, already. So that's done.
Okay, and next up, we have Moon Knight, which is
we got a trailer.
Unhinged Batman, and Oscar Isaac looks to be a really a good fit on Moon Knight.
He does. He looks good on it.
He looks good as Mark Spector, and yeah, you know, Moon Knight is such an enigma of a character. It's so weird. Unhinged Batman notwithstanding. Yeah, this is going to be interesting, and you know, this is also a setup for more characters. You know, this is like the expanded universe of Marvel here. And at least the Disney Plus shows are more connected to the MCU.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you have done your best, but you were good until you brought everyone to space.
Anyway, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
She-Hulk. We have She-Hulk. And unlike What If had 9 episodes. And unlike the 6 episode run that most of them are getting, WandaVision also had 9. This is gonna be a 10 episode She-Hulk. She-Hulk is gonna be 10 episodes. And She-Hulk is played by Tatiana Maslany.
And
Was in Orphan Black, where she was one of the main characters there.
Nice.
And, you know, would be awesome to see, because Jennifer Walters is the Hulk's cousin, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right. And she gets the powers through blood transfusion.
So that's going to be interesting how they'll do that. I want to know. And I think with She-Hulk appearing, Mark Ruffalo is going to be back. So that's cool.
That's true. He's coming back.
He's coming back. So, and then on the casting, I see Abomination. We've seen him there. We've seen him back in some form. And that's, we haven't seen Tim Roth yet again.
Aww.
But Abomination is there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Tim Roth is MCU. We forget that Tim Roth is MCU. And it's going to be cool. And yeah. And
Boy Ross, is he there?
Oh yeah, Jameela Jamil is cast as Titania, which is a rival of so that's gonna be
interesting.
Interesting. I really like this. She-Hulk is a very fundamental part of the Avengers in general in Marvel. So like, yeah, fine.
I mean, if you don't have Matt Murdock as your lawyer, who are you gonna get? Jennifer Walters. Yeah,
you have two lawyer options. It's either She-Hulk or Daredevil. So that's
pretty much.
There's not much to go around there.
Do you think they'll reference Jennifer Walters in No Way Home? Because she's also a lawyer in New York. Hey, wait, no, she's a lawyer in LA nga pala. My bad.
Yeah, she's West Coast.
West Coast.
Okay. Next up we have Secret Invasion.
Oh man.
And you know, Far From Home heavily implied that, you know, Secret Invasion is like underway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's gonna be interesting. Marvel,
because we've already seen them beforehand, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh. Oh yeah. Correction on Leticia, right? Yeah, I was looking at the comments. My God, we don't have. We need more comments here. We need a comment bar here. But yeah. Leticia Wright got injured, so yeah.
Oh shit, dude. Oh,
and
man.
Yeah, and she also might not be vaccinated, so that's one big problem there, which would delay everything even more.
True.
That's scary. Anyway. Yeah. So, one thing. Let's go. Miss Marvel, of course, we talked about that. Yeah, Secret Invasion, there's not much apart from knowing that Samuel L. Jackson and Kobe Smulders
are coming back. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And then you have Talos, who's a Skrull leader, so you're not a apart from that, that's it. Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, yeah, that's fan service.
Yeah.
Ironheart is going to get her own series.
Seems pretty early, but, you know, it is what it is. They want to, like, move on to a new generation, but...
Yeah, and then Armor Wars. Armor Wars is...
Oh, fuck.
Armor Wars is...
Can we get Terrence Howard back?
Armor Wars is Stark Tech gone wrong. I wonder how they introduce Terrence Howard back.
I wonder how. Maybe there's a multiverse.
Yeah, but yeah, it's gonna be so wild to see him appear.
I hope they bring back Terrence Howard because he got screwed over in the first Iron Man. I'm sorry, but I was so excited to see Terrence Howard as War Machine. And then seeing Don Cheadle, who is even smaller than Robert Downey Jr., become War Machine makes... It's just... It took me off my suspension of disbelief. Because Terrence, like, ever since the comics, James Rhodes has always been taller and bigger than Tony Stark. And then here comes Don Cheadle as War Machine. I'm like, okay, like, convincing, not bad. Pero sayang talaga na they got a much smaller guy. I wish they had somebody like similar to Terrence Howard's build, but with the same acting skills. Maybe they couldn't afford Cuba Gooding Jr. at the time or what, I don't know. But, you know.
I think Cuba Gooding Jr. had a lot of things going on at that time, so I forgot But yeah. And then there's lastly there's an untitled Wakanda series. So they haven't this is one of the things they haven't given an official name project. It's the last thing. It's I think one of the latest things on the list apart from Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And I really want to know what Fantastic Four is, but hey, in the end we're having a huge run for MCU and they're not stopping. And I guess that's it for the episode. But before we go, next episode is episode 100. And we're just gonna... It's all about the best games of 2021. And, nice. You know, we have a few guests that will give us their opinions, their takes, and their picks on which games deserve the mantle to be one of the best games of the year. Now I'm curious as to how we'll pick a definite game of the year. So that's one thing I'll be trying. I'll be wanting to determine before we do the episode. But yeah, episode 100 is next, and that's really cool. And I'm not sure if we'll be able to do another year end episode before after that. But hey, I don't think we'll be doing anything for Christmas, Steven. So that's one thing. That's our little Christmas break there. So that's our usual. And then, that's episode 99. And before we go, you can check out thegeekyones.com for various blogs and reviews and listicles around. So we talked about the 2021 Game Awards predictions. It's a week away. So you can check out our predictions on which would win Game of the Year, best game for each category, best action game, best RPG. You know, even best family game is there. Yeah, really cool. And then for the audio version of this podcast, you can listen to us. You can listen to us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Player.fm, and other podcast platforms. I was Google searching the Geeky Ones a while back, and yeah, we have to. There are some podcast platforms, Steven. We have to claim them. Yeah. There's so many. Oh my god! If you look at our Anchor page, we're available on 8 platforms so far, and that's really cool. You can check out our previous episodes too. We talked about the worst video game launches of all time.
That's right.
Last week, and we talked about the PS3's 15th anniversary two weeks back. Those are worth listening.
I just bought another PS3 game recently, and it's super fun and does well.
Next up, you can on social media, you can find us at The Geeky Ones on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube. Really cool. And yeah, and you know, we're gonna try and add more content. I tried testing out IG Reels on the Geeky Ones recently. Mm-hmm. Put an Apex Legends clip there, so just to test out. Yeah, it's an interesting way to we'll try introducing content there. But yeah, if you wanna get updates from episodes or streams, yeah, check out our socials. You can watch us on Twitch and YouTube as well. If you're watching us from Facebook, yeah, that's a great way too. And for Steven, you're gonna have to promote your own platform too.
All right, so I'm at Stevie Said Yup on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. I haven't released a Batman Beyond video yet, but I do have the new collection that I will be showing soon, hopefully soon. All right, yeah, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You can find me ranting about ice hockey or other things.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. You can also find me tweeting spoilers of Hawkeye if you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
All right, so for my channel, it's Dude It's Rude on Facebook. So I'm streaming games, but I haven't really streamed much yet. Although I do share content of I do share Geeky Ones content there, and I recently shared my favorite game of the year, Eastward. So that's one thing worth looking. If you want to know more about the game, you can check out my post. You can check out the game on Steam or Nintendo Switch, or I think it's also on the PlayStation.
Nice.
But yeah, really cool. I'm planning to stream in the upcoming week. Not sure which game I'll be streaming yet, so that's gonna be cool. And after that, that's it. That's the Geeky Ones episode 99, and 100 is gonna be a big one. That's a milestone. Last year we celebrated 50. It's fun. We got to reach 100. That's cool. We're reaching 100 next episode, and that's a lot of fun. And we're gonna prep this a lot. We're gonna hype this up. So this is gonna be cool. And yeah. That's episode 99. Thank you for watching. Thank you for commenting.
So
thank you for giving us and also just enjoy Marvel stuff. MCU Phase 4 has been such a wonderful run so far. And yeah, it's gonna be cool. And yeah. See you next episode. Thank you so much. And goodbye, guys. So bye.
Bye.
This episode of The Geeky Ones is presented to you by Ambidexter. Check out ambidexter.media for more information.